What up, Dumb Marks? Welcome to episode 180. You got your triple threat edition here. Chris, Steve, and Jason. Donald's off for the week. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
I see you got your Bruce Leroy glow going on about you today. You get the green filter around you. We good. Yeah. It's a rainy, shitty day here in the burg. So
that's always good.
That's always fun. Yeah, that's always fun to wake up to.
Honestly, Jason came in like 2 minutes before we started. I was like, do I have to send him the text? Like, you up?
Yeah.
I was gonna hit you with it. My camera's broken. I gotta.
it's that lazy type Saturday where you can just stay in bed all day and do nothing.
He was trying to find a reason to schedule off like 95% of the male workforce this week, given that it's March Madness and the first 2 days of the tournament started, you know, coincides with the most vasectomy scheduled across the country. So you can put two and two together as to why men do that. Just use your PTO. Like, why you gotta go snip the boys? Like, but
you gotta get it done. But
hey, listen, we're here. It's a busy time. You know, like I said, March Madness is underway. We're 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. We got WrestleMania weekend. We got Podomania 4 coming up here with the Dumb Marks. So you know how we do around WrestleMania season. That's our Podomania. That's our busiest schedule. Live multiple days with multiple shows, giving you everything that comes with that. So yeah, no, we're good. So
speaking of the March Madness brackets, did you guys do brackets? Are they busted yet? How are they holding up?
Late Wednesday night, my wife comes
to do brackets.
Yeah, my wife goes, hey, I need you to fill this bracket out. I'm like, for what? And my nephew's basketball team, high school basketball team, did a bracket as a fundraiser for them. That's a whole other discussion for another time. We're not going to get into high school sports right now with what you have to do. I don't know why I pay school tax if I got to pay for uniforms and all this other bullshit. But So Wednesday night, not doing no prep, not looking at nothing. I just went in and picked teams. I feel like her bracket's busted. I did have some upsets, which I hit on. Duquesne Dukes, had them went in. But yesterday, last night, I went to bed right after SmackDown, and I woke up this morning and saw some major upsets that went on last night that I wasn't expecting. But that's the fun in March Madness, right?
You never know what's going to happen.
Right. So first two rounds are here in Pittsburgh. They're hosting. I didn't get tickets, which I should have, but it was packed out, jammed out. And
I looked at it for today because I was like, oh, let me see what time they're doing it today, and maybe I'll go down. I think the cheapest I saw was like $200. Like, yeah. I can watch it from home.
Yeah. So when they initially went on sale, I think the session was like around maybe like $120 for the four games.
Okay.
Which ain't bad, right? Like, so, but yeah, no skin in the game, just going to watch the tournament, to be there at the tournament. I want us to get a later round. Like, we're always hosting the first and second round. Mm-hmm. Give me a Sweet 16, Elite 8 type feel. I know we're not going to get a Final Four because we don't have a stadium to host the championship game in, but Give me a Sweet 16 round, and I'll gladly pay for that. I will say the women's NCAA tournament, I'm way more excited for. Iowa is hosting first and second round because the women's is different. The first rounds, certain home teams get to host before they move to where they're going to play their regionals at. The cheapest ticket in Iowa, because it's Caitlin Clark's last two games at home, the cheapest ticket for the session today for Iowa was $650.
Jeez.
Superstar.
I mean, if it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for you to do, again, I can watch it at home.
I can name more players in the women's college tournament than I can the men's. So that just goes to show you the shift in women's college basketball. I say it all the time. The Women's College Softball World Series is way more exciting than the Men's College Baseball World Series. Like, college athletics for women, the Women's Volleyball Tournament, glued to that. It also helps that Pitt's very good in their season today. So, yeah, man, you know, exciting time, busy times when it comes to sports right now. This is always one of my favorite times of the year.
You brought up the tournament being here. There was a little bit of a negativity this week on the tournament being here because a lot of people were complaining that coming in from out of town, there's not enough to do around the stadium. It's like, and I was wondering, like, okay, like, this is the second time, I think, like, within 5 years that they've been here. Like, is this going to prohibit them from coming back now? Like, if there's not anything built up around.
I mean, it's at PPG downtown. You got the casinos on the north side, and you have, you know, cultural district and different things. But, yeah, it's
– in a way, walking distance, but
– right. Right, yeah. No, you're not going to get that as you would in some other locations, correct?
Yeah. You're here to watch a game. Go home. Come watch a game. Go home.
You got to make it a whole day, whole night out type deal.
Is there a McDonald's in one? Then it's a night out.
No, there's not.
There's none. That's a discussion we've had recently. There's no fast food downtown anymore. Like, Jimmy that's Jones. Saying something for our Jimmy downtown. Jimmy
Johns, if you want to consider that fast food, Dunkin' Donuts. But yeah,
it's like, yeah, you can, there's a couple options, you know,
right the by waterfront the waterfront. Little rush, so
okay,
like especially around food time.
So people are traveling, but in a way, they're forced to travel around instead of setting up shop and like,
yeah, you're not just walking out your hotel room and got a bunch of stuff to do as you would in other locations, so.
Interesting. Something else before we get into the hits and misses for the week. I don't know if you guys watched it. There was a documentary on this week, and it kind of pertained to our childhood a little bit. And it was a really good documentary called Quiet on Set, focusing about Nickelodeon.
I thought we don't get into the mess.
I just wanted to see if you guys watched it and what you thought.
I saw clips on the timeline. I didn't know anything about it. I believe it's on, you can go on Max and watch it. Yeah. And I think Hulu as well. Some really foul shit.
Very dark, very uncomfortable to watch. But
yeah. A lot of those shows I didn't really watch on Nickelodeon. That was kind of, I was out of the Nickelodeon phase at that time. Minus like say Ren and Stimpy and a couple other things that I would occasionally throw on if there's nothing else on, but yeah, I didn't watch, you know, Drake and Josh and the Amanda Bynes, the Amanda Show, and all those other ones that.
I mean, it.
Or like
they definitely niece. Started like with all that, you know, in the Kenan and Kel show.
I was like in the beginning of all of that. I didn't get too far into that. Like, all that and Kenan and Kel might have been the most I watched on there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it worked all the way up, you know, almost 20 years of him working there.
Here's how I know. Like, I didn't even know Ariana Grande was from Nickelodeon.
So
that's
either.
How out of it that I was, like, had no clue. So, I mean, if you're a documentary fan, I would suggest going on and watch it. Just know, trauma warning. It's very, very dark.
Yeah. Depending on like what your level is, if you're a documentary fan that watches anything, you know, you might be able to get right through it. But a kid that grew up on Nickelodeon stuff, a lot of, like watching all these things, you know, it's very dark, very uncomfortable. In some spots, but four episodes, it was easy to watch. You know, just wanted to see if you guys had watched it. You know, being we grew up on some of those shows.
No, I mean, we deal with that with pro wrestling, with all the Dark Side of the Ring documentaries and all that, you know, that are out now. The biography ones that are done on A&E don't tend to be as dark.
Not usually,
but
at least from the ones I've seen.
Yeah, and those are running right now, but I don't get them because I got YouTube TV. I don't get them. So
same.
I gotta wait till they get uploaded onto Hulu at some point in time or somewhere else to watch them. But I heard the ones that have come out this year have been really good. Whether it's, you know, John Tenta, Earthquake from WWF, Scott Hall, Randy Orton. Like, I heard they've been really good on both sides so far.
I heard the Earthquake one was good, the John Tenta one. But, like, a couple people that I saw, like, described, they go, it really wasn't necessarily a Dark Side of the Ring type episode.
Yeah, I didn't get that one based off of the the trailers and some of the snippets that they put out before it aired, I'm like, well, that doesn't fit their normal flow for what they do as far as Dark Side of the Rings go.
Like, maybe it's time for a reboot. If, like, we're getting to the end of, like, Dark Side stuff, like, if they want to do, like, their own type of biography, do a biography type. Like,
that's fine. And they're catching some flack for some of the, I guess, the last one that aired, not this week, but the one before that, was kind of filled with people were debating. And I saw Hurricane Helms tweet out something in a response, you know, is this one going to be filled with a bunch of lies and misconceptions as well? So I think they're kind of coming up on the end of their run with that.
So this is what, season 5, I think,
season, right? Five, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, the early stuff, whenever it was straight, you know, the Dark Side of the Ring, and you got into in-depth stuff, it was very good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But all right, let's get into it. Hits and misses for the week. Where you guys want to go? You want to go into the highs or you want to go into the lows?
We can start off lows if you want.
Steve, you said that you had a few, so you want to work us through the process?
I kept debating back and forth this week as far as what mush I was going to nominate. And the more I thought about it, I'm going to go with Goldberg as my mush of the week.
Mine too.
For his interview he gave, you know, I'm not giving him the mush for what he said as far as, oh, there's, you know, some Japanese girl, and then pronounced Asuka's name wrong and this and that. Like, he's a spiteful old man who's mad that he didn't get his quote-unquote retirement match moment that Vince promised him. So now he's throwing shade because Hunter is there, and him and Hunter don't get along. So that moment's not going to happen. It's like, dude, you came in from 2016 to 2022 for 6 years, cashed major checks, and damn near almost killed everybody you were in the ring with. You got a title run out of it. What more do you want? It's like you're edging on the Ryback stage of the spectrum scale.
Yeah.
Even like whenever he was gone. Yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
So there's been a lot of that this week between him and Rousey. Just both spouting off at the mouth. Everybody's coming out of this.
Rousey, I mean, is a little bit. Like, she was there more recently, a little, you know, but even some of the stuff she was saying didn't make a whole lot of sense as well. Like, you know, bad mouthing Vince, but yet you left and then you came back. So if it was that, but yeah, I just like, yo, you made a bunch of money. You did it for the Saudi checks. You did it for the big WrestleMania checks. You ended the title reign of Kevin Owens, which didn't need it done. Like, you did all these things. You had the feud with Lesnar, which was 14 years too late. Like, all this stuff where you could have drawn even more money if you would have stuck around and did it back in the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just sound like a bitter old man right now. Like, who cares? Like, not everybody is going to get the WrestleMania retirement match moment. Look at Sting. Sting didn't get the WrestleMania retirement match moment, but Sting had a hell of a send-off. Sting never bitched or was out there talking negatively or I didn't get a fair shake with this. We never heard Sting say one negative thing about WWE.
Yeah.
Even though his run, say what it was, it wasn't very good.
Even though he retired in WWE and then came back to AEW, you know, he at least said that he went out on his own terms. And that's what a lot of talent just wants to do, you know?
Yeah, like, and plus, like, bro, you can't go more than 3 minutes. You can barely do a jackhammer anymore. Mm-hmm. And then say, oh, everybody copied and stole my finisher, the spear. But the spear wasn't your finisher. The spear was the setup to the jackhammer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were a bunch of people in WWE using a spear while Goldberg was not in while he wasn't wrestling at all. You took your ball and went home. It's not Goldberg's spear.
Before Goldberg and after Goldberg. See, yeah. Goldberg's always just rubbed me the wrong way of, like, when he was gone, like, after 2004, and he left and, you know, wasn't doing much in wrestling. and he would always talk in interviews that he doesn't follow wrestling.
You know, he wasn't a fan of wrestling. He didn't grow up in wrestling. He didn't like it was a paycheck.
It's like, so okay, like you're not a fan. Like, I don't care then. You know, like if you're gonna bitch and moan about the company, I don't care. If you don't have enough, you know, decency to act like you're a fan or like that you gave back to something and it gave you a life, I don't give a shit about what your opinion is.
You came in for a check.
Yeah, that's all it was.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure there's plenty of wrestlers that have got into wrestling that it was not the thing that they wanted to do since they were little boys or girls. We've heard plenty of wrestlers say that this is what they wanted to do based on being in the arena for moments, et cetera, et cetera. Not everybody is going to pick a career, I can vouch for what I'm doing right now, like that's going to be what pays your bills and provides a life for your family. Doesn't always work like that for everybody. So, all right, cool. You're not that type of guy. No problem. We never held it against you. But the fact that you're going to now all of a sudden come out and shit on Asuka and the way they booked her to beat your streak, quote unquote, where you went from 4 wins to 104 in a matter of 2 weeks back in the WCW days. And then people, after the interview came out, people went back on the timeline and were pulling up the tweets of him supporting the streak and complimenting Asuka. So now you're going to what? Now you're negative for negative sake? Like, this is what we're doing the Cat Williams effect now in wrestling interviews.
I was gonna say, but why is he doing it? Clickbait.
No longer under the umbrella.
Yeah, like I whatever. Like I said, it just irritated me that it's like, yo, not everybody's going to get it, and like, cool. We don't need to hear you spouting off.
And I don't need to see him have a send-off at this point.
No.
He keeps talking about how he wants to do like a tour leading up to like one match. Like, I don't want to see anything.
You're not Kobe. You're not Kobe, bro. You're not like, you're not on nobody's Mount Rushmore. You're not like,
you're in the Hall of Fame. That's your send-off.
Right. Like, that's what more does he need?
And he was, what? He was put in and then still continued to wrestle. Right?
Yeah.
So, what else do you have for the week, Steve?
From a
mush you said you were, standpoint? You said you were juggling.
You can keep going. Take a couple of Dawn's minutes.
Take up some of Dawn's time here? Hold on, let me pull up and see.
I do have Donald, so.
Yeah, it is okay.
The other thing is the soap opera that is AEW outside of the ring.
Jack Perry stuff?
Yeah, man. Like, come on. I don't get it. So now, depending on what you read, rumor, innuendo, tea leaves, dirt sheets, etc. The latest is that Tony Khan is butthurt and in his feelings because he lost CM Punk to the WWE, which is why Jack Perry hasn't been back in 7 months.
But didn't Tony Khan need to fire CM Punk in order for CM Punk to go back to WWE?
Correct. And Tony, you know, only talked to Jack through lawyers initially, and then they apparently met face-to-face, and there's no creative. But this week there was an interview where he was asked about Jack, and Tony gave a response complimenting Jack and his work in New Japan, using the scapegoat, but yet that's not a scapegoat gimmick that they gave him to use. And it's just like, AEW is more in the headlines for behind the scenes drama than what it is for their product this week, which doesn't even make sense because I'll save my Mount Rushmore, but yeah, like that was the other, it was all headline BS. Like I didn't even really have a mush from a booking standpoint this week or from a performance standpoint. I mean, technically, I did tweet out last night after watching SmackDown. So you job out the Good Brothers to Theory and Waller, but they're supposed to be the king of the hill in NXT that's going to take the titles off of Braun and Baron at Stand and Deliver. Like, that made no sense. Oh, hey, let's pump these guys up on NXT, and then all of a sudden we're going to throw them on SmackDown when they haven't been seen on SmackDown in God knows how long to lose to Waller and Theory in a 4-minute tag match.
Which I I didn't see it last night, but I don't get it because it's like you should be able to have this continuity now of better communication between all three brands. And it's still not there.
Then I asked you, Jabroni, last week because you have multiple people in multiple tournaments.
Right.
On two different brands, like LWO in a tournament, Good Brothers in the tournament. What are we doing?
Yeah, and Booker T did. Booker T ran off the Good Brothers resume on Tuesday night and gave credit for every single title and every single promotion that they've held. You heard TNA tag team champs. Mm-hmm. You heard IWGP tag team champs. Like, mm-hmm. So you ran up the resume. You pumped them up. They've been presented as, you know, the big brother coming down to NXT to handle business and get right type deal, which is fine. I got no problem. If you're not using talents on the main roster and they can benefit NXT, send them down there. Yeah. And the Good Brothers are at their point in the career where it's like, all right, go back down and work with the young people. Coach mm-hmm. them up. Handle, you know what I mean? Like, cool.
They've both been doing it long enough to where they can.
But don't have them run down NXT for 3 weeks, build them up, have them shunning everybody down there, and then job them out on SmackDown in 4 minute match. That was my only booking decision that made no sense. Like, it might as well be an alternate universe yeah. type form because I don't get some of the stuff that they do sometimes. Like,
your communication's more open between the main roster and NXT these days. Like, there's no reason for this at all to happen now.
So now what? They're supposed to win this triple threat tag match on Tuesday, I guess, if they're having it. And I'm supposed to believe that they're going to beat Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, which is a whole other thing because you have the title on two guys where one guy got a video package on SmackDown last night hyping them up as the next big thing.
So does that make it seem like they're on the main roster, they're not good enough to defeat the caliber of talent on the main roster, but they're good enough to beat the caliber of talent on NXT? So doesn't that make your talent on NXT look a little bit weaker?
That's top, yeah.
But the champs on NXT has one guy that's on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So
this should be how you send them off.
Lose so you're going to have awesome. Yeah, you're going to have him. You're going to have Corbin eat the pin, so Braun looks strong going up to the main roster. Like, that don't make no sense either.
I mean, I get bringing Baron up by himself, but at this point, if you're going to have them tag champs down there and have him come up, Braun and Baron should both be coming up together almost and doing stuff on the main roster. I'm not even thinking long term, mm-hmm. but you have them together, bring them up, and then you can split them all.
On SmackDown.
Yeah.
Then push Braun ahead.
Like I said, I it just made zero sense. That was like maybe because it was so recent as in happening last night, and I didn't take a bunch of notes while I was watching stuff this week as far as mushes, but like that's the one that stuck out to me the most was like, how do you have them job in a 4 minute match when they've been hyped up on NXT for weeks now? And haven't even been on SmackDown. And the last time we saw him on SmackDown, AJ was slapping Anderson in the face. It was in a backstage segment.
Yeah.
And before that,
and then they ran off to NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then before that, it was how long before that? Like,
Jason, what do you got this week for?
I didn't have much. I got tired of the Ospreay comparisons. It came out with the
compared to like who?
It came out with he has more charisma than Cody, and then I just start seeing a run list of comparing, like they were comparing him and Braun, him and somebody else. I'm like, let the man be himself, because you're just getting the debate of who's better. You can't even compare to the three. They're all three different styles.
I'm glad that BS didn't come up on my timeline. I didn't see any of that.
I think Meltzer said he has Ospreay has more charisma than Cody and better overall. And then, you know, shit just went downhill in the comments.
So Meltzer's butthurt that Cody's in WWE now.
There you go.
It's to put like, over the AEW talent.
I'm like, you're comparing two different people, two different styles, two different worlds. Even though Cody was in that world. Then when they got to the LeBron comparison, I'm like, you can't even compare the two with this. No. Like, one's up and coming, one's been here. Yeah.
Who's been elevating, like, Ospreay's just been elevating his career. Been around, what, close to a decade now. Yeah. You know, just in New Japan, so. Yeah, I agree. That's not a fair comparison.
And then you're not giving Ospreay the time to adapt into this world with the promos and the segments and all that stuff.
Look,
let it play out.
I'm okay with what Ospreay's been doing, though.
Yeah, I saw some people make fun of Ospreay's promo style, and like they roasted him, and he gave the dude credit on Twitter, like, "Oh, mm-hmm. you roasted me like a potato. That's good." So he's having fun with it and not taking it personally, but. It's like, yo, he's arguably the top babyface in AEW in a matter of 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's had two matches and two promos, and he's knocked everything out of the park to the point where he's number one on the babyface side for me in AEW.
And I cannot wait for this upcoming Wednesday night.
Yo, the only thing I don't like is that Shibata is being the one that is like you can spin it and say Shibata is the litmus test and Danielson and Ospreay are having these tremendous feuds because Shibata is Shibata, which is absolutely the case because Shibata is that good. And Danielson arguably match of the week from this entire week from Collision last Saturday. So I got no problem, but it's just like, yo, he got to eat a pin to both guys and be the one. But I get it.
I can, in like a 2 week time frame. Like,
yeah, I can kind of roll with the story that they're telling. But yeah, bruv, like, bruv is over. Okay, the Billy Goat's here.
He's over.
Like, so what? Why are you comparing him to somebody that's in WWE?
Yeah. He doesn't. It's just like anytime like you bring this up, like, okay, Cody's gonna be the next. This or Cody's gonna be the next Cena or whatever. It's just like I always like when people always say, I don't want to be the next Cena or whatever. I want to be the first Cody Rhodes or whatever. It's like, yeah, just let him be Will Ospreay in AEW. Like, let him do his thing, let him create his own momentum. It doesn't need to be a cookie cutter at all.
Not everybody gets over in the same way.
Yeah,
if that was the case, everybody would be over. Like, it's Baskin Robbins 31 flavors for a reason. People are going to gravitate and like who they like for their own reasons. Whenever everybody gravitates and likes the same person, then that person's freaking over. It doesn't matter what he does or she does to get over, or they in the form of a tag team. Over is over. And if you can get over, get over.
The only comparison I'm going to make between Ospreay and Cody is that I see them getting over in a similar way that I think people like Cody. Like, it wasn't like they liked him wrestling and everything, but they liked good guy Cody. They liked him because, you know, they saw like how he talked and, you know, interacted with people. And Ospreay coming out and just being bruv every week, I think people are loving that personality a little bit. And like, they're picking up on that and it's gaining some momentum with him each week.
Like, Roman called out Cody for the politician aspect of Cody. And, you know, that was good in the promo last night. And you can put some of that on Cody that he is a bit of a politician, always dressed to the nines, kissing babies, shaking hands, signing autographs, being the last one there. Like, and he hasn't delivered. Great. I love all that. But at the same time, I feel like that's just Cody actually being Cody. And we saw that whenever he left WWE because he was doing that way back in with Ring of Honor and everything else. So, like, that's not something new that Cody's done just coming back to WWE. Mm-hmm. He's been that way since he left.
And people didn't like Cody just because he was in AEW. That was following him. Ring of Honor when he left. New Japan when he left. And following and establishing him to the point when they created AEW, they had such a fan base surrounding them that wanted to see them on that next level.
Yeah.
It's like he's always been playing the face of a company, but not been the face of a company.
I mean,
but that's where his trajectory is right now.
You brought
now.
Up your mushes being the comparisons, but like you can put Alvarez and Meltzer on there this week.
Meltzer, yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to support controversy.
That's Squeeze it. In the building. Yeah.
Also, we get the AEW rankings up there as a mush. I don't know why they even brought him back.
You gonna put what as a mush?
AEW rankings as a mush. I don't know why they even brought him back.
Because they don't use it.
I was gonna say, if you see anything from the ranking standpoint besides the Hangman and Swerve being tied, and that's why they got the triple threat, like
that's it.
I haven't.
You had two title changes with no rankings weren't involved.
If we get squeezed and Taquan start going it in the comments, that might be must-see TV because Taquan don't know about squeeze. He'll shoot back, Taquan. He's one of the best shooters out there. So don't let the boy fool you with the bloodline riding there. Meltzer and Alvarez can definitely go up on a mush of the week because they've been on a run recently where they're just saying dumb shit that just absolutely, like you said, for clickbait, they get everybody talking and then, yeah. Yeah, it is what it is with that. So.
All right, we'll get into Donald's for the week. He has a 1A and 1B. So 1A, only thing I have to say is get Ridge Holland off my screen.
Donald Stay coming up with these NXT. He might as well just call his portion of Mount Rushmore and Mushes just the NXT recap. Because every single week he's either giving it a positive and a negative from NXT. So we might as well just let him have an NXT recap segment on the show each Saturday.
Well, his 1B doesn't come from NXT. So
really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
He has for 1B, sarcastically, congrats to Adam Copeland. He finally found that title he never lost 13 years ago. Fucking loser.
I'm not letting him take that off. He can't be here. No, I'm not letting him do that. That I Quit match, I really enjoyed the I Quit match on Wednesday night.
I enjoyed Dynamite Wednesday night.
I mean, you know, say what you will about nobody wanted a Christian and Adam Copeland feud, but they've hit two grand slams in the big time matches that they had. The pay-per-view match was absolutely fantastic, and then the I Quit match on Wednesday night was great. But I'm not letting him shit on legends when he's not here.
Speaking on NXT, I'll throw myself in there as a jabroni. You posted that picture with Drew and Carmelo.
Yeah,
and the way he was angled, it like he had a fresh fade. So they like the whole thing came to NXT where he was a security guard and had a man up top. I'm like, okay, is he just having a haircut? I seen the first dude come down. I like Carmelo, but he too big to be Carmelo. Got me. Yeah,
they got you the security guard Swerve.
Yeah, I was like, that looked like Mello, but his guns were just like ripped. Yeah,
he might have had some curls before he went out and
had that extra medium shirt on.
A couple of hockey curls, man.
Yeah, yeah. He might have looked like me in the parking lot before I went in the Club Zoo back in the day, hitting the curl bar, going in with a sweater vest with no t-shirt on. But kudos on the Swerve because.
Yeah,
I was there, and then the way that they were shooting the angle in the ring, I'm like, oh, he's a security guard. But if you haven't been watching wrestling for 30 years, like you're not gonna pick up on that. And they hit that out of the park with that. So
all right, so those were the misses for the week. Let's talk about the hits.
Yeah. Mark, you know, all big push-ups in the parking lot.
What was your miss, Chris?
Goldberg. Yeah, at Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had Goldberg.
Yeah.
I don't like it when me and Chris are on the same wavelength. It's not good for this show.
I don't see us being on the same wavelength for this next round. So
You'll be surprised. Because
kick us off, Steve. Let us know what your hit was for the week.
My Mount Rushmore for this week is AEW.
In general.
As a whole.
Okay.
From Collision to Dynamite Rampage, the 3-hour block on Wednesday. Absolutely loved everything they did. Collision, fantastic matches. We touched on, you know, the Danielson Shibata match. Garcia, and I forget who Garcia wrestled on Collision. But that was a good match. I like Claudio and Lance Archer. And then it rolled right into Wednesday night. You know, everything that was there. The Swerve match announcement. Pac coming out to challenge Okada. We got the Ospreay and Shibata match this coming Wednesday. The I Quit match. And then in the Collision, my favorite match from the AEW this week, the women's street fight. Those four women tore the house down. Yeah, I love that match. Like, it was tremendous. I thought
Mercedes, say she's had more street fights than any other woman on in AEW. Like the happy-go-lucky character. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Thunder Rosa getting a pin over Toni Storm. You know, Mercedes placement and what she did. Not particularly happy with her promo. I need you to get over the aw shucks promo. We get it. You're here. You're good. Cool. Let's get down to business.
Yeah.
Which kind of picked
a little bit this week, but
yeah, it picked up a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, I thought all in all that the whole block from AEW was fantastic this week. I thoroughly enjoyed everything they did, in ring wise and all that. I love the. I wish. So the Renee.
I really like that.
I really liked Renee giving like the sideline reporting, mm-hmm. standing at the bottom of the ramp in between entrances and that, but keep her there and let her do that. And then if you're going to throw it to the backstage, don't have Renee run back and forth, put Lexi Nair back there or Marvez and have them do the backstage. So you have your announcers, you have Renee in like the sideline reporter role, and then you have people backstage to do the interviews. I think it'll help the flow better because you got Renee doing 17 interviews in the first 30 minutes, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But she's doing like the live stuff, like on TV, or you know, could some of it could be pre-taped, but like anything that's like airing. But like Marvez is doing like the earlier today, Marvez was with the Young Bucks or whatever. You know, it's like, do we really even need all these people? Like, it's like you have Renee, and if it's an earlier that day, she could be doing that stuff too. And then you have Tony doing stuff in the ring.
I will say I've been on here. This is a little bit of a call out for myself. I've been on here shitting on the Young Bucks for this evil CEO EVP gimmick.
It's turning on you?
This past Wednesday, the Duolingo and everything else, I'm like, okay. They may be slowly turning me kind of like the Pretty Deadly did. And, you know, I don't want to get on board yet. But I think adding Okada and what they've done so far the past couple weeks, I'm starting to buy into it a little bit more. So maybe give it some time. But yeah, AEW for me, home run this week overall.
I said it a couple weeks ago, like after Revolution, that how Revolution gave me like old, like original AEW feels. And I just, since then, I've been on a good run with AEW the past few weeks. Like I'm enjoying the content. Is everything hitting out of the park? No, but I'm enjoying the shows, you know, for what they are. And hopefully that continues. You know, it's like we're all going to have our issues. And like we always talk about, no one show is ever perfect every week. But I've been enjoying consistently what's been going on with AEW for a few weeks now.
And I don't need AEW to have a 3-hour block on Wednesday.
No.
But
it was okay for a one-time thing.
I will say it helped lead into Rampage and made Rampage feel like a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
To where I stuck around and watched all of Rampage.
Because easier watch?
Yeah. Yeah, much easier to watch.
No, it's not. WWE in 2012 was pretty bad.
So yeah, that flow. Because if it was a regular Friday, I might not have thrown on Rampage to where I would have missed the women's street fight and would have had to have read the recap and then gone back and watched it. So I would have known what would have happened and it would have, you know, thrown off the feel for it. But watching it live, like, yeah, it was really good. Easy watch, flowed well. So not looking forward to them doing that, you know, all the time. But if you're going to give me that one offs, then cool. Because I think they'll have to do it again this week coming up.
No, next Friday, Rampage is back. And same with Collision next week. So it'll be regular programming next week.
Well, how are they going to do that with the tournament?
They must be. They might be throwing it on TBS or True TV or something. Yeah, because they said next week it'll be back to regular times for everything.
Okay.
Mine did come from Dynamite this week, though. And I got to give it to Okada. He beat the bum. I got to give it to him.
Hey.
I don't need the belt. I didn't need the belt involved with it, but long may Okada reign.
Look, man. I'll let you have it for Okada with the win, but I'm not going to let you have it because Kingston...
Keep the bum on Ring of Honor. I don't need him on Dynamite or anything. He can stay on Ring of Honor. No one's watching it. Stay there.
Kingston showed that he can hang with the best of them.
No. I was getting so tired of Kingston going over on everybody the past couple months. I was so glad for Okada won. Dude's a bum in the ring. Like, honestly, like I'm not even like because like normal hate here. Like he's terrible in the ring.
It's normal hate.
I was watching this match just going like, really? Like what do I like? I don't like, I get, you know, people like him. Like I can see that aspect of it, but I don't get what people like about him in the ring.
They like, cause they can actually relate.
I guess
they can actually relate. That's how they probably would move in the ring. They see themselves in him.
Again, I wouldn't be any better, but I'm not trying to.
Look, we are not going to have this Eddie Kingston slander on here, okay?
It's needed.
It's my week hosting. We're going to talk all about Eddie Kingston. Yeah, no, but yeah, I'm all here for Okada in AEW. I didn't need like that quick of Okada getting a title. Like I could care less about the Continental Championship too. You know, it's like it's a waste of a belt there. We talked recently about belts and everything on the Two Horsemen podcast, but it's just, if it is what it is, at least they broke it up at this point. So, you know, that's what we kept saying. They kept defending all three belts for a while there.
So well, what's the other belt?
No, it's the, you have the New Japan Strong and then the Ring of Honor. Okay. And so, they were supposed to be defended as all three, and now they're breaking that up because now Kingston's going to defend just the Ring of Honor title at the Ring of Honor show.
Make it make sense.
Now it's no longer the Triple Crown title. It's going to be Continental, New Japan, back to Ring of Honor.
I'm going to be so torn on that feud if and when they do that, because Britt and Mercedes are two of my top five.
Is Britt injured?
Yeah, she's out with a back. She's been out with a back. They just didn't announce her as being out with a back injury. So
it's like I see her going around to doing like making her rounds for media and stuff, but just like, why isn't she on?
Yeah.
All right.
So you're not going to give the LOL TNA moment to hiring a person and immediately giving them a belt? We're not going to shun Okada for that?
Huh? I mean, it's not shunning Okada. It's more shunning TK on it. But, I don't like that they just bring him in to give him a title. But
I am here for him.
It's not a title, you know, I care about.
If the Dynasty lineup is going to be Ospreay and Danielson, Okada, Pac, we'll have the finals of the tag team tournament. Mm-hmm. Joe, Swerve. That's a solid lineup right there. without even factoring in Tony Storm and like I might shape it up to be a good card if that's the direction they're going to go. Yeah. So,
all right, Jason, what was your Mount Rushmore for the week?
I'm gonna give it to Raw and Raw production. Like it's been a great change for me lately. Like ever since they switched to the black ring, you've got like steady camera shots, long camera shots. They had that 2 minute shot last week from Sami Zayn.
Yeah,
coming through all the way back to Truth and them coming out. It everything has been hitting for me. The packages, the vignettes, little screens like screensaver things they've been doing for people who don't have a much like you get like an R-Truth package or somebody who's not in the main picture. You got like a package that they go to commercial that's just like a wall art type thing. Like just all this stuff just feels different to me now. The walk-ins. I'm just enjoying
Everything's great except for the 2K24 ratings.
Yeah, you can take those off now. The game's out.
The game's out. And they had the ratings this week, and the Creed brothers were rated higher than Gargano and Ciampa. Houseway. How? Explain that to me.
Yeah.
Giving that in-match underdog feel. I don't know.
That they had a hell of a tag team match this week.
Yeah. Raw as a whole, like it felt like there was not enough wrestling, but every promo hit for me. And the wrestling hit for me.
Hey, Raw for 3 hours this week. I was kind of upset whenever it was over. Like, I enjoyed it that much. Yeah. So, I could have easily have put Raw on there as a whole straight through. Raw's been better than SmackDown the past couple weeks.
Oh, yes.
Even with Rock being on there.
From what I've seen, yeah.
So
Rock has been the moment, and that was it for SmackDown.
So, all right. Production wise, nobody had Cody's promo for Monday night as their Mount Rushmore this week.
Is that the one on Donald's Jabroni? Or is
let me do Donald's and we can get into that.
As much.
So Donald's back on NXT, Roxanne Perez. Heel turn is finally complete. Her entrance music changed up, slower with a more mature voice singing the lyrics, the attitude written across her face. The in-ring work is flowing with the character now. She's easily the best women's wrestler on the roster down there.
Yo, just because you put some twisties in the front of your hair and dye the back of it blue, don't make you a heel. Okay? Like, let's be realistic here. All right? She got a little bit more attitude to her. Okay. But at the same time, like, come on now. We're not going to – yeah. Put some 2002 twisties in the front of your hair going to make you a heel. Nah, I'll pass.
She's coming off as a better heel to me, but it's going to be trying to harder to get away from that original Roxanne image with the Ballies and stuff. Yeah. So she's coming in. And she's always been the best woman wrestler on the roster. So
I need her to cut a promo.
She's talking more believable.
I need that one promo segment where I go, okay, yep, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her giving attitude in the parking lot, leaving, it doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
Get out there and slice somebody down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me
what
see.
What direction do they have we're going right now for stand and deliver?
She's facing Lyra for the belt.
Okay.
She's winning.
She's winning. I get spoiler alert. But like I need that one promo to solidify that you're there and has arrived and you
they got what, 2 weeks, right?
You have this fleshed out.
Because
you're walking around with more of a chip on your shoulder don't necessarily mean that you're a heel. So they have the basis for it, they have the story for it. She did make tweaks to the entrance music and the ring gear and all that. So you're there. Just cap it off. Because if I don't get that, then I'm not going to be fully invested in her as a heel and buy into it completely.
All right. So
Cody promo.
What do you want to talk about?
that was part of my
don't
whole.
Ever do, don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. don't don't Cody pun the show with me. So, what do you guys want to talk about? Look, we all
good promo.
Yeah,
I mean, rumor was going into Monday night that Cody had already had a written promo for him that was going to tear The Rock apart. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of expecting him to come out. Yes, he had some good one-liners in it and all that, but it didn't feel like 100% Cody. It didn't grab me like some of the AEW promos that Cody cut, a la the one he cut on Jericho when he used this the succubus line in the Jericho promo that he did with Rock. It was like 95% there, and I was still missing 5%. Like, it wasn't an, oh my God, I'm gonna put this in my top 10 promos of all time, like people were making it out to be. Yeah, but
no. It reminded me, I forget who it was. There was a promo Cody cut in AEW a couple years ago. And I forget who it was that he wrestled. Maybe one of you guys will remember, but he just like looks at the camera and he goes, "You stupid dick." And that's kind of like the energy like this promo gave off to me, is the same promo from that.
Hmm. Yeah, like maybe when The Rock comes back to Raw on the first, we'll get him and Cody in a face-to-face, a la like him and Roman last night. I much like what he said to Roman last night better than what he said to The Rock on Monday night. If you take away the shock and awe of the LDS, you know, little dick syndrome and calling him a bitch and an ass, like, take the shock value out of it from Monday night. I much like the promo last night from a substance standpoint. So I need him and Rock face to face.
I enjoyed Monday because I guess Friday felt like Roman wasn't up to the plate on the exchange.
Last night?
Yeah.
See, I like what Roman did last night. He took parts of what he said on Pat McAfee show during the day, and you know, expounded on them more between them. Like last night's promo face off was the whole, it was the one-upmanship as far as, you're stupid, you showed up here by yourself.
Yeah.
And it was, ah, I'm not that big of an idiot. I brought back up too because I know you can't keep your word.
Like David said earlier, I think it needed to be more intense for me.
You're like, you're getting to the build up here.
Yeah.
You know, like you're getting almost at the final moment.
Yeah.
You want that intensity there.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say about on April 1st when The Rock shows up on Raw. Mm-hmm. Like I need Cody to take the tie off.
Yeah.
I need him to, you know, like get up in the man's face and say to his face, you know,
kind of like take Seth Rollins' role
put your chest.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, like Seth, yeah.
Roman going through the motions. We're going to save this for the Podomania broadcast, right? So we're not going to get into predictions and breakdowns and all that for this, but as it stands right now, I'm still more interested in Rock versus Cody than Roman versus Cody.
I am.
So what are they going to do over the next 2 weeks to get me to flip that around?
Probably nothing, honestly.
I mean,
especially if you're going to build Rock and Cody on the Raw before.
You still have the finish the story aspect. That's just going to overtop everything, but I'm actually more invested in Rock and Cody.
I need something more than finish. Finish the story was great last year. Finish the story tagline is not going to get me over the hump this year. Not whenever you add in the additional pieces that are on the chessboard. If Rock wasn't involved and Seth wasn't involved, then I can rock with the finish the story tagline and cool, we can ride that wave out. But there's more players involved now, and I need something else to get me over the hump as to why I need to care and be fully invested in Cody beating Roman on night two in the main event of WrestleMania 40. Because just for him to win the title and finish the story, from my fan perspective, is not enough for me to fully buy in and back up Cody completing the mission. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm making it too difficult and I'm making it more complex than it needs to be. Maybe it is as simple as he needs to just finish the story and cool. But it's losing a lot of sizzle the last couple of weeks. And I need the fajitas to come out hot. And right now, they're starting to come out cold, and I'm not eating a cold fajita.
You've been building up for a year, you know, because we all came off of WrestleMania last year, you know, and he got in the feud with Brock and everything. Like, you could tell they were trying to keep building him up. So it's like, you had a year to build this up. It should be there.
Yeah, people were more invested in Cody picking Roman at the press conference. Absolutely right. But even at the press conference, it was overshadowed by Rock slapping Cody, so it turned into Rock versus Cody. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, and hey, maybe even it could lead up to night one, and they do something to make me tip over to night two, because that could totally be the case as well. I'm not going to just have it. I'm not going to pigeonhole them to say, oh, all you got to do is get me on these last couple go-home shows.
So I was just about to ask you about night one with him pinning the Rock, even though it's not going to be that way. But would that solidify for you their interactions?
Yeah, we've brought up that cash in moment as well, which would be tremendous.
I don't need any more slapping. Like, we've done it. Like, let's move on.
Close hand fist.
Yeah, I will say I did kind of miss the 12-minute Rock promo on Twitter or Instagram that I've been getting every Friday. I was waiting for one to drop, and it didn't. So, yeah, missed that a little bit there. But and then now here's the thing. So we know the Rock's not going to be on TV until April 1st, the Monday before.
That's your April Fool's. He ain't coming.
Yo, let them do that. Mega heat. Have him just send in a video package
via satellite
from Cody's mom's house.
Old Hollywood Rock.
Yeah, a little video package from Cody's mom's house. You know, I mean, you got to have all. See, this is where Roman and Rock being part timers, and I'm calling Roman a part timer. Like, are you going to get them on all four shows leading up to this WrestleMania? There's 2 weeks left. You would think that they would have to all be there
together. Now.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be there for SmackDown, you know, because that'll be from Philly.
The goal, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't think the SmackDown before Mania, that Friday night before Mania, I don't think we're going to get anything of substance. It'll all end the Monday on Raw.
Probably. It'll be that WrestleMania SmackDown like they've been doing the past couple years. Yeah, that's where you'll get the Andre the Giant Battle
Royal. Tag Team Gauntlet match.
Yeah.
There's not going to be anything of substance on
that. It's your WrestleMania pre-show match.
yeah.
I don't know. Have they announced anything for next week? Like, have they said Roman's on? Or
no, nothing. Nothing.
So that's kind of interesting. You know, a week before Mania and only having, like, Cody and Seth. None of the – no Rock or Roman. Like, you would think you'd want to have one of the heels to play off of.
And this part of the show is for our Drew McIntyre appreciation. The man continues to just be – absolutely scorching earth hot on fire right now. Like, the tweet with Mello talking about, yeah, you know, you looked a little lighter after you dropped that 240 pounds. And I'm like, oh, he's talking about Trick. But then they showed the picture of Punk or Trick with Punk or one of them or Cena, and then dropped. So I was like, oh, Drew's hitting. And then last night, did you see him the picture on the side of the truck
Was that the Stardust one?
Yeah, changing Cody's face in the Stardust. I did not hear that rumor.
No, I didn't either. But I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because that's going to get us into the game for the week.
All right.
So the game. So the game for this week.
And hold on, before we do the game, do we need an ECW tribute on Friday night? And do you trust WWE to do an ECW tribute Friday night?
No.
If Paul's running it, yes.
Wait. Clarification. A whole separate show.
Okay.
Yeah, if they're doing something.
Oh, okay. I think it's like Dudley's are going in. Is it like the 2300 Arena Hall of Fame? I think. Mm-hmm. I think the Dudley's are going into that weekend, so that might be it. We've done Mount Rushmores in the past for
Taquan's tired of ECW tributes, but he gets on here like New Jack every single week. This guy's unbelievable.
So this week's game is I want to know everybody's ECW Mount Rushmore. And I have mine and Donald's ready, so if you guys need some time to think, I can go into those first, and then you guys can go.
Well, read Donald's off first since he's not here, and I'm sure we'll pare it down like we did everything else he said on the show so far.
So Donald's kicking off with Shane Douglas. He was the spearhead beginning the revolution. Tommy Dreamer, heart of the promotion. I liked how he had never won the title. Only time he won was when everybody left. Sabu, only man on a TV to be a specialist in every weapon at his disposal. Fun sight to see. And then the Dudley Boys. They got under my skin so much as a teenager. You must be great at your job to do that. Been a fan since.
We got here. RVD, Dreamer, Sandman, Balls Mahoney. Okay. Sabu, RVD, Sandman, Franchise, New Jack.
Okay. Kimona Wanalea. Automatically.
For one night only,
Dudley's, New Jack, and I will put Sandman up there.
There's so many people that I want to put on there. Limit it.
Yeah,
because it's like some of my favorites. Like I feel like I don't know if I can put on it. I'm going to go. Hey, Francine deserves to be up there. I'm going to go Paul Heyman. I mean, there would be no ECW without Paul. Mm. I'm also going to give it to Joey Styles because just the voice of ECW.
Come on, behind the scenes, man.
I don't like riding with Chris.
ring setup crew and who else, Chris? Give me one more. Like the one on the handicap.
I'm going to go Shane Douglas. You know, it's like Shane had, you know, he kicked off ECW, and then Taz, I got to give it to him too. You know, it's just like he's part of the reason why I watched it. But at the same time, Dudleys are my favorite tag team of all time. And then again, Tommy Dreamer was the heart and soul. So I hate to leave them off, but Joel Gardner.
The stud buffered himself.
Austin Foley.
Mark, Terry you definitely Foley. Stole some Gardner pickup lines and tried to use them yourself.
Well.
So, like, if I'm going ECW as a whole and not just ECW wrestlers, then I got to put Heyman and Joey Styles on there because without them two, you don't have the vision nor the voice of ECW, right? Then I'd probably throw Shane Douglas on there and would probably say Dreamer if I'm doing those four, like as a company as a whole, just because you had the vision, the voice, the catalyst, and then the heart, like in those four. If I'm going ECW talent wise as a Mount Rushmore, I got Taz, RVD. Shane Douglas. Sabu. But how do you leave Terry Funk off? Even though, like, is ECW what it is without Funk? Like, there's just so many.
Yeah.
That's
we were all fans of ECW here, so it's like we all watched it for a long time.
Yeah, like how do you not have Raven on there? I mean,
I never liked Raven.
Yeah, but him and Tommy's feud was
some of the best storytelling in all of wrestling. I mean, manager / valets, you got Alfonso, Francine, Beulah, Dawn Marie,
Joel,
Gertner.
And Kimona.
You know, like for being put on the spot, I didn't think it would be as difficult as it was, but that's it's really difficult to pick just four.
Dreamer, Sandman, Sabu, and RVD.
It's a good one, Mars.
Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn, RVD. I'm going to follow Guido. Can't forget New Jack.
Mikey Whipwreck.
Stuff early with him and Mick Foley was great.
Tremendous. I mean, Candido, Bam Bam Bigelow, like.
Triple threat.
You putting JT Awesome on there? Was that his name?
That Mike Awesome and JT Smooth.
JT Smooth.
I mean, Lance Storm.
That match deserves to be on the ECW Mount Rushmore.
I mean, there's even Matt, like, even if you get down to like selecting matches, like, that's even hard to put a Mount Rushmore of matches for ECW up there with so many great ones. You have Malenko, you have Malenko and Guerrero, you have Mysterio and Psychosis, Taz and Bam Bam, like,
got just the Dudleys here. The whole Dudley clan. Yeah,
the Dudleys from Dudleyville. Big Dick Dudley, Spike Dudley, yeah.
Too Cold was a great addition to the roster.
I can't. That's tough.
Brings back those ECW memories.
Ray was pulling Too Cold Scorpio last night. He kept on calling the 619 doing regular moves. That was like,
All right, good feedback. Glad to see everybody in the comment section participating in that. Got a good group here. Anything else on the Mount Rushmore? I do got one more thing, and then we'll go around if anybody has any final thoughts. I wanted to give a quick shout out to the Nightmare Factory. They relaunched yesterday TCW, which was Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling that Dusty promoted back in the early 2000s. So that's going to be, they used to do like one shots on the Nightmare Factory each, like every couple months. So this is going to be, it's Nightmare Factory titles, but under the TCW banner. So you want to watch some young talent if you like that. There's a lot of that out there on YouTube, but they're going to be another one every week on YouTube.
That's not where the nephews are, is there?
What was that?
That's not where the nephews are, is it?
Yeah, I think.
It might be.
Okay.
Yeah. Cody can finish the story there.
Yeah, it's like, so Teal, Cody's sister Teal, she's kind of like they call her the EVP down there. She kicked off the show. So I guess it's like Cody said yesterday on Twitter, I guess it's going to be like Cody and QT running that show. So good for them. Yeah. Might see some decent talent come out of there.
Yeah.
What else you guys got?
Couple quick hitters for me. One, Triple Mania. They announced their card for AAR32 in Monterey, and it'll be headlined by Alberto El Patron, so Alberto Del Rio, versus the wanted man himself, Nick Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, for the vacant heavyweight title.
Oh, it's vacant. I thought it was Del Rio holding it. Okay.
No. I believe it's vacant, unless I read this card wrong. But it's like, what are we doing? You have Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler for the AAA.
That feels like 2014, 15, however ago.
Yeah.
TNA announced that their classic TNA wrestling DVDs are coming to TNA Plus, featuring all the documentaries, all the documentary features and extras in the history of TNA Year One and TNA 50's Greatest Moments. So, if you're not, if you haven't signed up to TNA Plus, get on there. They have a great catalog. And they're just continue to add to it moving forward. And then lastly for me, well, two other things. One, Motor City Machine Guns, keeping up with the TNA feel. Their contracts are allegedly up and haven't re-signed yet. TNA did sell out the ECW Arena last night and tonight for their TV tapings. I believe they're taping four episodes there over the two nights.
Building up to Rebellion.
Yeah, so not sure how contracts are going to shake out in TNA. I saw some scuttlebutt that they're only offering per dates with higher per date premiums, and not necessarily given contracts. But
which is the route they went down before.
Yeah, I don't know. But yet they just signed Hammerstone to a deal, and they extended Alexander for a year. So I don't know how the contract situation is going to shake out.
I'm not going to talk about who I saw a couple of the results from last night. I didn't see all the spoilers, but I saw a couple of returns at the ECW Arena last night. People that had previously been there. So I think that's where it kind of got talked about that there, it's only like per appearance.
And then
on a case-by-case basis too.
Yeah, and then lastly, I saw going around, because we have, you know, WrestleMania season with the WWE Hall of Fame announcements and that. I saw Rick the Model Martel is not in the WWE Hall of Fame yet.
I saw a picture of him and I didn't even know it was him.
Which is I'm like, how is the model not in when you look at some of the people that have gotten in?
Yeah.
Agreed.
But, you know, what have they always talked about? It's always people that, you know, that might be close with the company still. And if they're not really in communication with them, unless they need to reach out to them.
Yeah. And then Bray Wyatt is not getting in this year, but that's based on the documentary that they're putting out. So they didn't want to do the documentary plus induct him at the same time. So,
which you would think that they would want to do that. Like, hype everything all up at the same time.
Yeah, we'll see. But
it's usually what they've done in the past, but it's okay with them changing up the model from time to time.
So I am excited to watch the documentary, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That comes out on the 1st, right?
Yep. April 1st on Peacock. The Cock. Peacock.
So. Anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Thanks for being.
I'm gonna give let me give somebody else my mush real quick. Okay. So I'm on Instagram, you know, as soon as I log on, it's ass shaking. And I scroll, ass shaking. I'm good. My phone refreshes. Normally it's ass shaking. No, this time it refreshes. I get, what's up, guys? It's your boy Chris from the Dumbmores talking UFC Prime on my timeline. Now I'd never see anything Dumbmores. At all. I have the legit.
Well, that's because you never share anything. You don't promote the podcast. You're a terrible co-host.
I'm not promoting ass either.
But all you do is search for ass. That's why it keeps popping up on your timeline. No. Just, you know, change your algorithm. Maybe get our videos playing a little bit more so we can grow the show instead of you just watching Old Spice or Spicy, whatever, the Ice Spice, shake your ass at work.
You know how long it took me to find that video again, Chris? Thank you.
Which one? My video or the ass shaking?
The ass shaking.
So angry that you had to turn your hat backwards.
That's you, Chris. That's...
look like a chef at a hibachi restaurant. So you're mad because Chris's face interrupted.
He interrupted my ass work
session on Instagram that you get to watch every day while you're in the break room.
I say I'm a change, but I'm like Sting taking off a Sting mask. It's I'm
sorry, gone. I blocked it, man.
Hey, thanks for tuning in.
You don't necessarily need to see his face when you're trying to look at that.
Yo, seeing your face and then immediately trying to watch a twerk video is not going to happen. Especially if you start laughing hard and then cheeks start shaking. That's just wrong cheeks shaking. As he's drinking another UFC Prime.
Got to promote it.
I couldn't even find the shit. It sold out. Chris bought them all.
Hey, keep trying to get us that Prime sponsorship, you know?
Trying to get us paid, period. So speaking of getting paid, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod.
Great plug.
Purchase the merch. And make sure you follow us on all our social medias, like Jason sees on Instagram, at dumbmarkspod every week. And as you know, we're live every Saturday on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. And make sure you email us with your questions and comments at dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. Anything else before we sign off, gentlemen?
No, I'm good.
So we can let Jason go and get back to Instagram.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Let me do my thing.
All right. The quote of the week for your Monday motivation. Stop hating Monday. Be a professional and hate the whole week. So until next time, guys.
You ain't even going to Mania. Get your ass out the car. Oh, that's
you definitely going?
My face. I thought that was Jack Horn.
hating on the wrong brother.
I just seen shirt, thought it was that corn bitching.
Again, you hate on the pro wrestling prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. You can get that t-shirt in time for Mania. All right, guys, until next time.